Our help and only expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy and peace be unto you from him that is and that was and that is to come, from the seven spirits which are before a throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing 428, the fifth stanza. O teach me, Lord, the way that I should go. Then shall thy servant walk therein forever. And what's following? The fifth stanza, 428. The reading of the Holy Scriptures can be found in the first letter of Paul to Timothy, the first chapter, 13 through 20. 1 Timothy 1, verse 13 through 20, but before the 12 articles of faith.
I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Timothy 1, starting at verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the great grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Albeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe unto him to live everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Emineus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So far.
Let's seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Lord, we ask for souls to be set free, thy souls, owned and with a purpose to be saved from sin and brought to glory. And that thou mightest use the ministry of thy word and apply it by thy spirit, because the letter killeth everyone that knoweth without life. Hears only condemnation, but the Spirit applies it and makes it true to the glory of thy name and the salvation of our poor souls. And therefore we pray thee, have mercy upon us. Give us to be a witness of thee, of thy works in grace, of thy holy name, which is Jesus, Savior of sins. Ah, Lord, remember us. Remember the mourning families, Mrs. Everts, while she went this week to bury a grandson of 29 years old, and the family Hoover, who in the last some weeks had to bury a father. Ah, man is traveling to his eternal destination, and it's or light or darkness, or grace or without grace. It's in Christ, in thy Son, or without Christ. Lord, remember us therefore, that the Almighty has applied the truth to our hearts. Remember our country, Canada, our old country, Holland, from where we came, and remember us to be an inhabitant, an heir of the kingdom to come. For the days are numbered. We're a small little time here on earth, and time is preparation for that eternity we are coming to. Lord, remember us in the opening of thy word, please, and give us life, and our mouth will glorify thee, and will bring sinners to thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, it is a wonder if a minister and an apostle may preach as a witness, that he doesn't speak about it, but that he witnesses of it. And I think that's the grace God gives every true minister, that they know what they preach and have experienced what they preach. And therefore he starts in 12 already and says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. It's a remarkable text. It seems to be that God has chosen him because he esteemed him faithful. So God knew, if you would easily read this text, that he was a faithful minister, and therefore he has chosen and enabled him. But congregation, that's not it. What's first in this text? He enabled me. He enabled me. And we know by a true faith and the work of the Holy Spirit, a true faith in Christ, and it comes later, and the work of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And therefore, God counted him. And the word counting can also be said of this. Therefore, God made him, ruled him to be faithful. He enabled him, therefore he ruled him as a shepherd to be faithful in the ministry. I will make you my witnesses. You will bear my name in the whole world, heathen and Jews, kings. Otherwise we don't understand the truth of the whole scriptures. Pistos is also faith. He gave me faith, resting in his faithfulness. Who? And then he speaks about his past. Is present, is salvation, and ministry, and ultimately the glory of God by grace, which was ultimately his purpose. But let's first see. 4:15, 8 and 9. 4:15, 8 and 9. Turn thou unto me in mercy, have compassion on my soul. I am sore distressed and lonely, waves of trouble o'er me roll. Oh, consider my affliction. 8 and 9, 4:15. He has spoken about the glorious gospel. We see it in verse 11, last time we closed with it. The glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. The congregation, the Lord Jesus has said to his disciples not only that they would be witnesses of him, but that they would be witnesses of these things. It's hard to preach or to testify if you don't know what you preach or believe. It's hard always to say this is what God's people say, but this is what I heard, but so is a child of God not, and a servant of God also not. They should be witnesses of the things they preach, and they shouldn't be strangers to the things which the Lord has revealed to them. And therefore he speaks about what he was in the past. He was a blasphemer. He blasphemed God and Christ, cursed him, took his name in vain, openly and publicly. That's first. A persecutor, he hated the church, persecuted them from city to city, brought them in jail, in prison, and even put them to death. And endurance is always make other people feel pain, hurt. This is what he did to the church, and this is what he wanted to do. A persecutor of Christ and the Christians. But he was put into the ministry. I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. He didn't sin against the Holy Ghost. If he would have openly blasphemed the third person of the Trinity knowingly, he would have sinned against the Holy Ghost, and there was no forgiveness anymore. But he speaks about his past, and he said, I did it without knowledge, ignorantly. In unbelief. He didn't know it because he didn't believe. Didn't believe. Isn't it difficult to understand this text? Now, I already said that if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, there is no forgiveness. If you blaspheme the work of Christ applied to the souls of a Christian, there is no hope. But he did it ignorantly in unbelief. Can you explain it out of the Old Testament that it must be there too? Well, the city of refuge. If you did it ignorantly, let's say you have an axe and the steel, the top of the axe, get loose from the pin and probably you kill someone with the iron piece. You didn't do it on purpose, but ignorantly. You didn't know that it was loose. And you know what happened? Such a sinner could flee to the city of refuge and stay there until the high priest died. And when the high priest died, he was free to leave the city of refuge. But if you did not do it ignorantly, there was no place in the city of refuge. If you did it on purpose. You know also that in the Old Testament they could take the horn of the altar. And Job did it. But he had sinned willfully. And he was even slain at the horn of the altar. By unbelief, I did it ignorantly. In my life, in my past, I was a blasphemer, denying the work of the Spirit in salvation, denying Christ nor God the Father of Christ, persecuting the church, but I did it ignorantly, and therefore there is place for grace. Congregation, might be someone in our midst and saying, yeah, but Pastor, I have willfully sinned. But every sin is not blaspheming. Not blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And everything, even against Christ, can be forgiven. He said it himself. But if you blaspheme the work of the Spirit, denying grace, judging a soul, denying the work of the Holy Spirit, you know what the Bible says. And I know every child of God sometimes is attacked with it, that he has done it. I know how difficult it is sometimes. The devil sometimes says, now it's over with you. You did it. But every sin against the Son will be forgiven. Against the Father will be forgiven. But if you deny openly the work of the Spirit, the gospel preached, and hardened your heart, and that's the sign of the sin against the Holy Spirit, a hardened heart. Before a blasphemer, a persecutor, endures, but I obtain mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I, God, grace. He obtained grace. When do you obtain grace? When you're a sinner in knowledge, and I come to it. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. Do you know that's a wonderful text? He was a sinner, but the grace of the Lord covered him all, overflowing. John Bunyan has written a book, Grace Overflowing for the Chief of Sinners. When grace is covering you, grace in Christ, his righteousness is in his blood. That's overflowing. Then God sees grace. He sees the righteousness of Christ in his blood that cleanses from all sin. I think that's wonderful. It's not grace given to you, it's covering you. That's what says here. It covered me. God sees grace in Christ. He sees Christ covering you. That's exactly what it says. With faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Again, it's not said faith in Christ Jesus, but faith and love of Christ Jesus. Explain it better. I will. if I believe, I need someone trustworthy. And the Bible says trustworthiness is faith, pistos. Grace given to him was the faithfulness of Christ to the law, to his Father, to be a sacrifice, which is in Christ Jesus. It's the faith of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ, the obedience of Christ, the payment of Christ, the ransom of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ, trustworthiness of Christ. And the next day says it already. We always start on our side and say we have to be believing in God, in Christ. But here it turns different. And Paul says, I believe in him who is faithful to his Father, faithful to the law, faithful as a sacrifice for sinners. Congregation, his faithfulness is trustworthy. He is faithful, and therefore he is trustworthy. Not to believe in him makes him unfaithful. And love. Not my love to Christ. And again, we always start with my faith in Christ and then my love for Christ. Oh, child of God, it's the other way around. His love for you and his faithfulness to you and his righteousness to you and his goodness to you. I'm not trusting in my faith but in his faithfulness. I'm not trusting in my love but in his love and goodness. But today it's always starting with man. I must and I bust and I go and I do. But Paul was just a persecutor. And Christ says he is a chosen vessel unto me. From eternity. And I will make him a witness of grace. And I love him. He is a chosen vessel. Election is love, eh? Election is love, eh? Election is not only in the council. Election is love. He loved Jacob. And he hated Esau. He should have hated Jacob too. But he didn't. And again, congregation, if I may promote, it was my prayer today that I may say it's all in Christ. You can trust him. As a prodigal, as a sinner, as a blasphemer, who has cursed him, as a persecutor of the living souls of Christ, you are allowed by the grace of God to trust him, for he is faithful. Faith in Christ and love, which is here in me, in Christ Jesus. I told you many times that a student came to me and said, I can't be a minister because I don't feel always the love for Christ. They said, that's not what you're called for. You should not preach your love to Christ, but his love for you. That's grace. For Paul, And then he continues and said, not only for me, but this is a faithful saying. He knew it. And worthy of all acceptation, that's faith. First Christ, faith and love, and then this is a faithful saying, word, it says, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners whom I was the chief. No. I've been the chief? No. I am the chief. Pastor, but is it not true that his sins were forgiven? But listen. The Bible teaches simul justus and simul peccator. What does that mean, Pastor? I'll explain it. Righteous, 100%. A sinner, 100%. Still a sinner, 100%. And yet righteous, 100%. That's grace. Of whom I am protos, the first, the chief. Were his sins forgiven? Surely. But he was the sinner receiving grace, covered. Why do you preach it? To teach you that salvation is outside of yourself in Christ Jesus. Do you know many children of God always look into their own hearts? And it's a mess here. You're a mess too. But faith is not looking into my heart. His faith is looking into the heart of the Lord Jesus. That's a gift. And therefore, it's a faithful saving. Why does Paul say it? He knew it by experience of grace. By the word of God. There is forgiveness with him. The sacrifice is sacrificed. It's paid for. Worthy of all acceptation. If you don't accept it, you make it not a faithful saying, but an unfaithful saying. John says you make God a liar. If you don't believe the gospel, you make God a liar. Some people say to me, I can't help that, I can't believe. Yeah, I know what you're saying. But not believing is making God untrustworthy. The gospel not trustworthy. The promises of God not trustworthy. That's the chief of sins. And therefore, he says, this is a faithful word and worthy of all acceptation. It's worth to be accepted. What? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the wonderful word that's used here is the hamartolos. And why do I say this? Well, what is sin? Sin is not purposing God, but purposing yourself. We have dealt with it Sunday afternoon. Do you know why we hate God? We love ourselves. We are turned to ourselves. Even in all religious business too. Me and my conversion. I am me. that's hamartolos, that's missing the purpose, missing the point, missing God, not living unto God, but to yourself. And therefore you blaspheme, you're an enemy of God. Therefore you hate the people of God, your neighbor. We are here at the center of our being, our fallen nature. Paul, in his religion, hated God, hated Christ, hated the church, and persecuted to death. Although he thought he was the most holy man in the world. But blind, he didn't know himself to be an enemy of God and all his neighbors. Another wonder. God loves from eternity what doesn't love him. You're in chosen vessel. To save, to take the wrath away of sinners, excuse me for the words. Salvation means that God turns his wrath to love and his enmity to peace and your guilt to grace. That's turning. Of whom I was chief, more grace, more sin, more knowledge of sin. Not only against the law, but also against the love. And not worthy to be a child of God. Of whom I am chief. Why does Paul say this? I always wrestle with people, say, but I am the chief. I say, no, the Bible says Paul was the chief. Why did he say it? He says it for this reason. He says, for that I got grace, you can have grace too, he says. That's preaching the gospel. If God has taken me from the brink of hell and out of the depths of darkness, all the world can be saved. And now I speak to a child of God. When God set you free, and you tasted the peace in Christ and the love of Christ, was it true that you say the whole world can be saved? Yes or no? If this man is saved from hell and from the wrath of God, all the world can be saved, worthy of all acceptation. And congregation, I liked this night, I was thinking about all these things. And I said, Lord, forgive me that I have not more preached about thy eternal goodness and mercy in Christ. For such a chief of sinners. You know, I know. When God saves a soul here, you promise him never to sin. Every child of God, at the moment God saved his soul, he says, Lord, I will never sin again. But how is it now? Be honest, be honest. It's worse than it was before, isn't it? You're inward. Old nature, wrestling with God, murmuring, walking not in the ways you want to walk in. But listen, I'm not preaching a faithful Christian. There are no. But I'm preaching a faithful Christ. And there is one worthy of all acceptation. That Christ came to save this sinner, who is the chief. Are you? And if Paul says, when I can be saved, he says the whole world can be saved. My children, curse people. We think today is, you hear some, oh, he is a curse, he can be saved. Oh, yeah. Then no one can be saved. I told you last time, if someone curses, I have always to keep my heart. Otherwise it starts. Oh no, you're not me. That old nature. And I do which I don't want to do. And I can't stop it unless God stops it. Singing a psalm is the best. Devil doesn't like it. And what I'm saying is, you should let it stay this word. You should say, I'm more a chief of sinner than Paul. Then, no, this word is God's word. Keep it. And he says, well, I'm saved. Well, I'm saved. Christ came to save me, to be what I'm not, to pay what I can't pay, and to obey what I can't obey. He saved me from the wrath of God, brought me to jealousy, to hunger for the righteousness which in Christ, and he revealed himself to my soul, of who I am chief. So, listen, sin won't hinder you to be saved. But unbelief is denying this word of all acceptation. That Christ came into this world, you boy, to save a sinner, of whom I am chief, says Paul. Therefore he had a majestic word to preach in this world. Let's sing 191 and 2. 191 and 2. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust, shamed let me never be. O save me in thy righteousness, give ear and rescue me, give ear and rescue me. 1 and 2, 190. There we come to the content of this portion, the most important part of it. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, the chief of sinners, same word, first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, in the first place, Paul is an example. And he says, the way I'm converted should be a pattern for every conversion. A pattern is the way. And hypo, It's a type, it's an example, a pattern. God always converts in the same ways, a pattern. Some will teach that it's not true. They say there's a Timothy conversion and a Paul conversion. No, Paul says it's always the same pattern, the same ways. I'm not saying the depth always, but the same pattern. If it's not this pattern, like Paul is saved, then it's not a true saving grace. They always wrestled with me and said, yeah, but Timothy, I said, Timothy is converted as Paul. He met him in his tears. And he remembered his tears of repentance and faith, of wonder and grace. Don't tell me these things. There's only one way, a pattern. The ways in which. But we must listen carefully. For this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. It doesn't say his righteousness and his mercy. No, it says all long suffering. So the pattern is in the way of conversion that God shows long suffering. What is long suffering? Long suffering is he carries on with you and carries you while you even sin and have sinned. Or I have to be more precise. The moment Paul was arrested on the way to Damascus, he heard his judgment that he had killed God's people and persecuted Christ. He heard his judgment, the same as the people on the day of Pentecost. That night, he couldn't sleep, nor eat, nor drink. But it became a wonder, and then we understand what's said here. It became a wonder for him that God didn't kill him immediately. Judged him to death in hell. Long-suffering is, while I am an enemy, God is still not judging me, putting me to death and hell. In the first place, this is a preaching for convicted sinners. An elder of Staphorst, we had a gezelschap, a meeting with children of God in Putten. And I remember it still. I said, God might use sickness for your conversion and other ways, but he might also use his goodness for your conversion. And then he witnessed that night that God showed him his long-suffering, his goodness. In Romans 2, and therefore it's important in Romans 2, I think verse 3 and 4, let's find it. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. What is the wonder of conversion? The wonder of conversion is that I am a blasphemer. God loves me, and in all the time I exercised my enmity against him, he was long-suffering. He didn't put me to death and judgment. In congregation, although it's true that convicted sinners know this, but I have to say to you all this night, isn't it a wonder that he didn't put you to hell? Unbelieving, rejecting, not trusting. Or do you, what Paul says in Romans 2, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads us to repentance? Do you know, I'm evil, but God is good. I hate him, but he loves me. He sends his son to save me from the wrath, that the wrath might be turned to love. You know what God does? With goodness he converts. He brings people to repentance. We always think that God, by beating up, brings a man to repentance. No. When the prodigal came home, his father kissed him from cheek to cheek, and he cried the more. You know how God converts a sinner? By being good to him, although he is not good to God. And I can say it of you all, if God would come to judgment this night, and I'm speaking to the children of God first, what could you say? Isn't it the goodness of God that puts you to shame? Make you a beggar? That he dealt not with you according to your own life and desires. We call it evangelical repentance. Repentance is a sorrow for God. He breaks your heart. How? By love and goodness, by forbearance and long-suffering. He's dealing so good with you for so many years, and you're not dealing good for him. It's one-sided. Or do you despise it? I'm not converted, and and think is this, thou, O man, that judgest them which do the things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance? Let me give an example out of the Old Testament. People always say to me, how did it happen that Nineveh turned to God? And some have said, not everyone was converted. I'm not judging this, that's not my thing. But the Lord says, 40 days and I'll turn the city upside down in my wrath. They had 40 days. God showed his goodness still 40 days. And that leaded them to repentance, because judgment was pronounced. And the king repented and said, let even the animals repent. And there was a sorrow in that city, a crying for mercy. And God turned his wrath to goodness. How does God humble the sinner? Tell me now. Not only by bowing or bending under the law, but by breaking under the gospel. And if you're broken under the gospel preaching and the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance, I've several times said to you, I could withstand the beating hand of my father, but I couldn't withstand the tears of my mother. Do you know how God converts a sinner? He kisses him. He says, although you hate me, I love you. Although you're bad to me, I'm good to you. That's the prodigal. That's the way of conversion. That's the pattern in which God converts his people. The goodness of God, the forbearance, the long suffering. Although you have killed children of God, Paul, and you have hated Christ, he did not hate you, but carried you, cared for you, loved you, sustained you, and dealt bountifully with you. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? Does it mean anything to you? And congregation, if there is total a broken heart, do you know what's the fruit of a broken heart? Is accepting judgment. Justify God, and you will be justified. Rend not your clothes when you come to the altar to sacrifice a lamb, but rend your heart. For a broken heart and a contrite spirit is a sacrifice unto God, and he won't reject it. Congregation, I'm not saying it's a condition. No, it's a pattern. I will draw them with tears and bring them to me. And I will wipe away all your tears and take your sackcloth from you and clothe you with the clothes of righteousness. See, I sometimes see sinners and they fear, but I always like to see sinners which are broken. That's God's work. They have nothing to say. They say, what a wonder that I'm still alive. Paul didn't eat 3 days and 3 nights. He knew the goodness and forbearance of God that leadeth to repentance. And if you feel you're broken, you have one desire, that God would forgive your sins. And this is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He saved me. By the abundance of grace, by the faithfulness of Christ and the love of Christ. My tongue is too short. and my heart not big enough to show forth the goodness and the mercy of God for such an evildoer as I am, who carried along with me for so many years. Congregation, when God convicted me the first moment, I was fearing. I started to be awake. I thought I should be awake, praying the whole night for mercy. And I tried it. I thought, because if I'm going to sleep, I will end up in hell immediately. But as long as I try to pray, probably He will listen to me. Do you know what happened to me, man? After a long wrestling of that night, I fell still asleep. But the next morning I awoke, and I saw the goodness of God, that He didn't put me to hell, but He showed forth His loving kindness and His mercy. And congregation, then the soul begins to ask for mercy. But now I have to preach, this is a faithful saying. Really faithful. I can witness it. And worthy of all acceptation. Oh, ye convicted sinner, or sinner who are not convicted, but still that blasphemous sinner. To save sinners from the wrath, to be their righteousness, to be their faithfulness, to love them by the love of God. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe. See, hereafter believe. True repentance and faith, you never can divide. Now I have again an important thing. People say you can have repentance and 30 years later faith. No, you can't. There is a moment in His wrath and a life in His goodness. If it's not in the moment, you will immediately die. If you feel the wrath of God and it's expressed and load upon your soul, you would immediately die. But wonderful, in the twinkling of an eye, God reveals His Son, and you believe, rest in Him alone, being made righteous, and the wrath of God taken away, and the love of God put out in your heart, faith in Christ and love of Christ alone. Hereafter believing. So after repentance, connection. There can be repentance without faith, and there can be faith without repentance. It are two sides of one coin, the pattern of grace. We like always to support the feelings of man. Say, you've cried and probably. No, hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. What's life everlasting? To know Christ and His Father. That's everlasting life. That life is in God through Christ. That's not time, it's quality. Life everlasting is quality. It's everlasting life to believe in God and the Son who is sent by Him. The two persons. And that by the application of the Holy Ghost. Now when that happens, then you don't end in your conversion, but you live out of the wonder of all wonders. Therefore He says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible. We love Him while we have not seen Him, said Peter. The only wise God be honor and glory forever. No, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. forever and ever and ever and ever. Not for now, forever and ever and ever. Not for a moment. Now into the King Eternal, immortal. He is glorious. He is risen out of death. He is sitting at the right hand of his Father, immortal. Invisible. Although, and I said it already, Peter says, although we don't see him, we love him. For he loved first us. The only wise God. This is how God converted the sinner. The only wise God. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. It's true. Divinely true. Eternally true. To praise him eternally is the joy of the children of God. Amen. And then he says, and Timothy, I charge you, according to the prophecies which went before you, that you might have a good warfare, be a soldier. This doctrine will always be attacked. This brings a war in your life. Cobra said, the moment that they smell your Christ, they start to hate you. I had an elder in one of my congregations, and his soul was saved. And he said, the moment God saved my soul and set me free, they didn't greet me anymore, they didn't wave anymore, they didn't love me anymore. He said, before, when I said I have to be converted, my father-in-law loved me and said, oh yeah, you have to be, and you're more serious, you're serious. But when God set me free, Goldberg said, they smell that you are of Christ. They smell it. And if your ministry is in this ministry, repentance and faith, they'll hate you all over. And therefore Paul says, be a warrior in the warfare. Don't give up. Strive, the good strife. Be in the war. And congregation preaching Christ is bringing you into the battle. But listen, he is more than victorious. And with the tribulation, he will send you the outcome. For in him we are more than victorious. Preaching is being in the warfare. The devil don't like you. You have someone in your flesh, your old nature, that is always and not subduing to God too, so... But it's warfare. Therefore, Paul said, commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies. The prophets were always persecuted. Isaiah, Ezekiel, which went before thee, that thou by mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. Holding faith means resting only in him who is your salvation. Secondly, a good conscience. If there are sins allowed, not confessed, you lose your good conscience and you're weak in the strife. You lose your strength. When there is something that attacks you within, you lose your strength in the spiritual strife. And therefore Paul says, faith in Christ and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, having made shipwreck. He says, some seemed to be starting good, but they made shipwreck. Coming to the harbor, they lost their ship and all the content. Now Hymenaeus and Philetus said that Christ was not risen, that there was no a bodily resurrection of Christ, that it had already been. And congregation, I can't go too far into it, but they made shipwreck. Now what did Paul do with them? He says he gave them over to Satan. Whom I have delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now he said, Lord, take thy hands from the for a bit and let Satan afflict their bodies, not their souls, that they may learn not anymore to blaspheme after grace, that Christ is not risen, that's blasphemous. That Christ is not risen, that's blasphemous. He is risen. He's the King of all glory, sitting at the right hand of his Father. It has very deep consequences. If we would believe that he is not risen, then he had not a body. And if he is not risen in the body, my faith is in vain. And I preach in vain. It's all in vain. Hymenaeus and Philetus, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Sometimes you have to take away the hands and the congregation, especially Paul as the apostle. He says, okay, I let you go in the hands of Satan, and that he might afflict you and try you, that you may learn not to blaspheme. That's the mine in Montreal at a difficult time. While preaching the gospel of Christ and his righteousness among all those people there. And this week we talked a bit, and then I talked about it, and there's a professor, a Muslim professor who's converted, an Algerian, and he spoke about the people who afflicted and brought the war in that university. He said they might fear, really fear, if God deals with them when they blaspheme God. And I thought about it. Sometimes you have to take your hands from them and say, okay, Satan, try them, that they may learn not to blaspheme anymore. Oh, congregation, may I hear these things? I ask you two things. Has there been a time in your life that you repented? And by accepting judgment God deals with you, have you believed in him in the twinkling of an eye while he revealed himself to you? Faith and love in Christ saved from the wrath of God, being a child of God eternal. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, remember not the sins of long ago, the sins of unbelief, for not accepting, that's a gift, accepting, but not accepting is a sin. While the work is finished, and that thou hast come to save sinners, the chief is Paul. He was a witness of these things. He could tell what happened to his soul, that grace was covering him in the eyes of the judge, overflowing grace by faith and love in Christ. Lord, forgive us our weakness, our unbelief, our enmity. And thou art good, not dealing with us according to what we are worthy of. Look upon us in thy dear Son. We ask it. Remember also the widow of our elder when we miss him. He was a witness of the things to his family, to his wife, to the congregation. But thou hast taken him, and now he is singing from everlasting to everlasting the honor and glory to thee. And then we don't wish him back, although even tonight we thank thee that he was a witness unto us. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Congregation, we end in 284. 284. Stanza 1 and 2. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord, thy Maker, and all within me bless his holy name. 1 and 2, 284. that you may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.